In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. So we hear in this morning's Gospel, Jesus preparing his disciples for what is to come, saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles. And they will mock him and scourge him and spit upon him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise." Wow. I imagine that would be a difficult thing to hear. However, the disciples gave a sort of odd response to hearing that their master is going to his suffering and death. James and John asked, "Give us what we want. Give us what we ask. To sit at your right hand and your left." And Jesus said to them, "The cup I drink, you will drink." And that cup is his crucifixion. "And the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized." And we teach that baptism is both death and resurrection. And so he promised these things to them. But desiring position and authority, even at his right hand and left hand in glory, these are worldly pursuits, and Jesus became indignant at their request. He instructed them, saying, "Whoever would be great among you must be servant, and whoever would be first among you must be servant of all." Don't seek after position and authority, but seek to serve. The ways of this life are not God's ways. In fact, they seem to run counter to what we expect. If you would be great, you must be least. If you want to be filled, first empty yourself. And if you seek fullness of life, you must die to sin. It's contradictory. Why is it that the Christian life seems so counterintuitive? Is it really that strange? Or is it I, who have so attached myself to sin and estranged myself from God, who are in need of correction? After all, what is sin but merely disordered desire? God made all things, and he created them and looked upon them and pronounced that they are good. God created all things good, and he created them in subjection to himself. And yet we often take the things of God's creation and we desire them more than we desire God himself. Now, this past week, in the services of the church, we were met by two great Marys. On Wednesday, we read the life of St. Mary of Egypt. And on Friday, we prayed the full Octavist hymn of the Holy Virgin Mary. On the one hand, these two Marys could not be more different from each other, and yet, at the same time, they're almost identical. The Theotokos, from childhood, lived a life of complete purity in the temple, preparation for becoming the mother of God in the flesh. While Mary of Egypt, from the age of 12, constantly sought the intimate company of men. She recounts her life to St. Zosimus, who encountered her in the desert. She told him that one day, while in Jerusalem, she attempted to enter the church to venerate the Holy Cross on its feast, but she was unable to cross the threshold of the church, being prevented from entering. And looking up, she saw the icon of the Theotokos, the other Mary, the pure Virgin Mother. And Mary of Egypt became immediately aware of her own sinfulness. Begging the Theotokos to allow her to go in, she was finally able to continue into the church to worship God and venerate the Holy Cross. And upon giving thanks to the icon as she left, she heard a voice directing her to cross the Jordan River and enter into the wilderness in repentance. And so she did, spending the next 47 years in the desert. Upon relating her life to St. Zosimus, she asked him to return to bring her communion the following year, which he did. And after receiving communion, she reposed and was found a year later by Zosimus, who had returned to give her communion another time, and he buried her there per her instructions that she wrote in the sand. Now Mary of Egypt, in her youth, desired sensual pleasure more than a loving relationship with God. Because the love she encountered with men is merely a distorted shadow of God's love for us, she could not be satisfied. Yet, when she reordered her disordered desires, reorienting herself towards God, she found sustenance in the desert, and in a life of asceticism, she found rest. My friends, what matters not is where we currently are. We would have little hope if that were the determining factor, where we are right now. What matters is where we go from here. St. Herman of Alaska, in a conversation he had with sailors on a ship, instructed them, if we love someone, we always remember them. We try to please them continually. Day and night, we are concerned with them. Our mind and our heart is concerned with the object of our love. He asked them, how do you love God? Do you turn to him often? Do you always remember him? Do you always pray to him and keep his commandments? And the crew admitted that they did not. So St. Herman encouraged them. From this day, this hour, and this very minute, we should strive to love God above all else and to do his will. Which of us can claim to love our Lord in this way that St. Herman describes? St. Mary of Egypt led an inspirational life of repentance after her encounter at the church, and an extreme desire from God in the desert. Having spent her life up to that point in pursuit of lustful pleasures, she came to desire heavenly things above earthly, and to love God more than man, food, or comfort. She abandoned those sensual desires and replaced them with a pure desire for God. And she retreated to the desert where God led her and lived a heavenly life on earth. May we seek to desire God in the same way. And from this day, this hour, and this minute, strive to love him above all else and to do his will, as did his servant Mary of Egypt. With their prayers, Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us.